Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
I wouldn't be 100% against that, honestly. I mean, there'd be some whompers.
And Chris Ello.
Don't tell me I'm taping the game. And Scraby goes, it's 7-0 Fresno State. And I wanted to run over and wring his neck. Why do you do that? That was like 2 weeks ago. I'm still angry.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Breaking news on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz Vance. 6:05 on the clock, everyone. Just trying to do my best, Tony Gwynn Jr. here.
Oh, let me turn my mic on. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
That was pretty
Thank
good. You. We got some callers on the caller on the line. One dropped off, unfortunately. Nathan in Spring Valley, you want to talk a little bit about what the Padres have been doing in the trade department?
Yes, Tony, thanks for having me on. I'm happy with the trade, very happy. Here's the thing. Renfro, he had power, sure, but he was so bad at plate discipline, it would drive me nuts as a Padre fan.
Yeah.
And from what I hear from about fam is he has plate discipline, gets on base, he's going to make things happen. So guys, the 3-4 hitters like, say, Hosmer and Machado, there'll be someone on base to hit in. It was just, I don't know, it was just, I mean, Renfro was exciting to watch when it comes to hitting the homer, but besides that, it was very lacking, and I'm very happy with the direction the Padres are going when it comes to guys that are getting on a base, steal a base, making things happen, so the other hitters can knock them in. So I'm happy as a Padres fan with the trade.
Nathan, thanks for the phone call. I think you're in the majority, Nathan. I think there are a lot of folks out there that are pretty excited about Tommy Pham. Everything we've seen, everything, you know, especially the last two seasons, this guy has been a guy that can do a little bit of everything. Talked about the 25 bags he's stolen each of the last 2 years. Just a good player. And Nathan hit on something. The Padres are in desperate need of guys who can get on base. And, I mean, what Hosmer finished with, I think it was 99 RBIs?
Yes.
Something like that?
He did.
And that was large part due to having Fernando Tatis hanging in front of him. So you could add another guy that's getting on base. Maybe both Machado and Hosmer benefit from that. So I look at this trade as a positive for sure.
Now, when Hunter Renfro in the second half, I was reading that he had bone spurs in his foot. So how much does that – because his second half was completely different from his first half. We all speculated maybe something was wrong, but what do you think?
My opinion is that definitely had a part in his second half. I'm not going to blame it completely on there, but we saw what the healthy Hunter Renfro did in the first half. Having, you know, bone chips or whatever it may be, I think it was, what was he dealing with? Ankle issues, I think it was?
I think,
foot?
Yeah, foot.
Something,
like, yeah,
something
extremity,
in that area.
Lower extremity.
I mean, your feet are clearly really important.
Yeah.
Everything in the swing works from the ground up. Your feet aren't right, chances are everything else is falling apart. So, hopefully for Hunter's sake, he's healthy and can get back to doing the things he did in each of the last two first halves over the past two seasons. Let's go to Francisco in Scripps Ranch. Francisco, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, happy Friday to both of you guys. And, you know, I'm calling to tell you that straight up, I'm really happy about the trade. But it's funny, I happened to catch Coach last night when it came down, and the first guy to call in was ripping up on the trade, wanting to get rid of A.J. Preller. And I got to tell you, you know, it's amazing that, you know, we got to be happy that this team is actually making moves.
Right.
They got Machado last year. You're not going to get another $250, $300 million guy. This is an amazing move, and the more I hear you guys drill down on Tommy Pham here, and the more I hear about him, the more I think, you know, what a great move. You know, what a great direction we're going in. Everything the last guy just said makes sense. Everything Coach said last night makes sense. And we got to be grateful that we have ownership and leadership that's trying to make this team, with the limitations they have, better. And I'm 100% glad to see this trade. I'm still hoping that there's, like, a long shot that we get Strasburg. But outside of that, this is an amazing trade that is indicative of the way they're trying to do things, which is be smart, you know, think outside the box and improve the team incrementally. And I think this is more than incremental. And I think it's going to be a linchpin to some great things coming up.
Great phone call, Francisco. I totally agree. Thanks for the phone call. And Francisco's right. You could maybe argue that the previous trade with the Brewers was an incremental trade. This one is to me a lot more than incremental. This is a much bigger trade, and I agree. Padres, listen, there was a time when we didn't have ownership that was willing to keep doing more. Especially, we've never had ownership hand out the kind of money that this ownership has, and yet they're still willing to make moves. Now, that's not the end game. Obviously, we here in San Diego want to see some wins stack up and get into some postseasons, but you can't do that without taking these steps. Very rarely do you just go out, sign a lot of free agents, and all of a sudden are contending. It just generally doesn't work that way. It's kind of got to be a mix of your guys, some core guys, and maybe you bring in the free agents to kind of solidify what you're trying to do. Certainly seems like A.J. Preller is trying to do that. There's still some spots that need to be taken care of. But remember, this is all happening before winter meetings even get started, which is when all the action usually takes place.
Yeah, there could be something next week. That would be really fun.
It'd be perfect next week if it happens between the hours of, I don't know,
two and six.
You know,
and whenever A.J. Preller's coming on the show.
I think that would be perfect. That'd be ideal.
The trade is now official.
It is. So I don't have to say reportedly anymore.
Yes. They have sent out the official press release. They've put up the social media posts. It is a done deal.
Okay, producer, what do we have, 6:15?
Well, we're going to do some shuffling. We're going to go back page, my favorite segment of the week.
I like the back page. This is back page, in case you guys didn't know, is all the stories that we don't generally talk about, but might be kind of funny, might be kind of serious, a little bit of mixed bag. We're going to bring it to you. The back pages, when we come back. You guys know, before I went to break that last time, I said goodbye to you guys, I believe. Or was that two breaks ago?
It was two breaks ago.
Two breaks ago, I said goodbye. What happened was, you know, we're in studios, and they're set up like, I don't know, animal cages. So people walk by, and they, like, point at you in the window.
Yeah, they do.
And I kind of panicked a little bit. It was, like, right as I was going to break, somebody, like, pointed at me, and I was like, oh, see you later. All right, bye-bye. So I apologize for that. All right, Scrappy, go ahead.
You don't need to apologize for it, but it is like a viewing when right. People walk by.
It reminds me of a lot of spring training, being in the hitting cages, and they allow the fans.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everybody, it's like you're like an animal in a cage.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is very weird.
And then sometimes we have like a glare when the sun's out on the top of the windows, and so you can't see who it is, but they're waving to you, so you're just waving back. It's pretty funny. 97.3 The Fan features a college football championship doubleheader tomorrow as LSU faces Georgia for the SEC title. SEC title at 12:30, followed by the Big Ten championship game as Ohio State takes on Wisconsin. College football plays here on 97.3 The Fan. Thomas just got a text from his friend saying the back page is the best part of the show, so let's do it.
Time now to go past the headlines, past the Dear Abbeys.
Are you willing to make a sacrifice?
All the way into a world where most never roam.
We're dealing with sick people here.
Gwen and Chris take you through all the stories that are too weird for the front page. The back page starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The back page.
I love the elevator music.
Me too. All the stories that we don't talk about. On the radio here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. We're going to start with a Cleveland Browns fan who jumped into Lake Erie. The Browns, they've had a tough season. We all know that. Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday apparently said something wrong. I didn't think he said anything wrong.
He didn't say anything wrong. It's ridiculous.
But everybody's mad at him. Well, the Browns fans are kind of mad because they feel like they were sold a bunch of lies about this upcoming season. And a Browns fan named Joey Kinsley, which I appreciate his Twitter name, so I'm going to say it, at Sir Yacht. I don't know what that is, but Sir Yacht is his name. And he posted, "Welp, Browns season is over after another loss to the Steelers and a quarterback named after a duck. I'm so done with them. I jumped into Lake Erie," and he put up this video. So it's kind of long, but we'll play it and we'll comment through it. Go ahead, Thomas.
"Welp, the Browns season is now over. After all that hype, all that promise, all the talent that was assembled, it was all wasted. We lost to the Steelers again. They had a third string quarterback, undrafted, named after an animal that quacks. We playing Pig Jones next week? Moose Smith? We just got all the barn animals we're going to play and we're going to lose to them? I'm so tired. I don't even care if it's raining
outside. Out of his car.
I don't give a damn. I'm so tired of the Browns wasting my life, wasting my time. I get dressed up and wear these stupid brown and orange colors only for them to just waste it. So much talent. So much talent. Going 12-4, 13-3. I'm so done. I'm in the rain. I'm about to get pneumonia. I don't care. You know what's funny? I just looked at that garbage can right there and instantly I thought of the Browns. Just instantly. It's just subconsciously ingrained in my mind. I want to apologize about what I said about Freddie Kitchens yesterday, saying he was a good coach because he wore a shirt that said Pittsburgh started. Well, guess what? Pittsburgh finished it today. Talk the talk, walk the walk. Can't even do that. I'm sick and tired of rooting for an organization that continues to let me down. I'm going to keep doing it, but I guess that just means I'm a moron. Speaking of being a moron, I'm going to go jump in Lake Erie. Because that's where ducks are. My feet are really cold. Holy cow.
And he jumps in. And it's freezing.
I hate Browns. You did this to me, Browns. You did this to me. Oh, I can't do this anymore.
That was it. So I really appreciate this guy. What was his name? Joey Kinsley. Number one, he did that whole rant, which was pretty funny, without a swear word.
First of all, he was being himself.
Like, he was.
He was really irritated.
By the way, I looked at that trash can just now, and the first thing I thought was the Browns. Well, he said after CNN caught up with him, and he said the water was freezing, could only stay under for less than a second before my breath was gone, took two hot showers to warm back up and get the Lake Erie bacteria off me. So
I was about to say, why punish yourself because of what the Browns made you? Which you do. You already punished yourself watching them all season, I would assume.
I know.
You're going to jump in Lake Erie? I will say, it's really not the Browns' fault.
What?
When in terms of the hype, they didn't. The fans and the media created the hype.
Well, I don't know about that.
Listen, what they put on the field was their fault. How they performed on the field is their fault.
On paper, they have a good team.
The hype, yeah. But wasn't there a lot of pundits saying before, well, you got all the talent. It takes one thing to get talent, another thing to actually put it into actual working matters. I'm just saying, like, that hype came from fans being excited about the players they got.
Remember when the Eagles did that and Vince Young came out and said, "Dream team"?
Sure did. Didn't work out, did it?
Oh, poor Vince. Things went downhill for him.
I do remember that now. Just as a dream team.
They signed all the big-name free agents, kind of similar like the Browns did. Like, oh, making a splash in free agency, and all the hype was there. And
nothing.
Nope.
Nothing.
The next story we have in the back page, the stories we don't usually talk about during the week. Now, we talked about the Peloton ad earlier in the week for a little bit. And the Peloton ad, if you haven't seen it, is this woman who is on her bike and she's doing like an Insta story throughout the year. It's kind of like a year in review of her on her Peloton bike. Well, people were so turned off by this ad that Peloton lost $1.5 billion with a B dollars in the stock market. Tony, your hand is up.
What exactly was everybody upset about?
They're upset that they're saying that the ad is sexist and dystopian. Oh, Thomas has something for me. What do you got, Thomas?
What's the last word?
Dystopian. It's like dystopian is like what's a Handmaid's Tale, like where women are being controlled by men. Here it is. It says, a person who imagines or foresees a state or society where there is a great suffering or injustice, relating to or denoting an imagined state of society where there is great suffering.
Do you want to play the ad for
Please, because I'm confused
it,
right
yeah,
now.
Play a little
I've
bit
seen
of
the
it.
Ad,
play
but
a little
I don't
bit
remember
of
it being, like, egregious.
Now. A Peloton? Give it up for our first time ride.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace and Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
This holiday,
okay.
Give the gift.
So
of
pretty much what people are saying is that...
Where was the...
They were saying that it's the husband bought this for her, and they're saying that he is buying a in-shape woman exercise bike to work out more because apparently she's not good enough for her husband, so he had to buy her this bike.
How do we get to those conclusions from the commercial?
This is what we do in society.
So we don't know if she could have asked for a bike for Christmas, for all we know.
She could have, but I don't think she did.
Oh, you're going to go along with this.
Yeah,
you don't think she did.
Others are suggesting that at times it resembles a hostage video.
Oh, my God. What?
So they lost $1.5 billion.
What am I missing here?
Thank you. Coach, could you say that again for me?
What am I missing here? What am I missing?
So that has lost them $1.5 billion because everybody said it was sexist and what was the other word?
Dystopian.
Dystopian.
It says here the backlash against.
Am I crazy that I don't see it?
It's no, but I get what people are saying.
I need to actually see the video. Maybe.
Like I said earlier in the week, I don't want to see an attractive woman not losing any weight on the bike. I want to see someone who's actually working towards losing weight. That would make me want to buy the bike more.
Yeah,
so
you're speaking in terms of what's going to make the consumer want to buy the bike.
That's what a commercial's for.
But I'm saying though, this is a story about. A husband buying his wife a bike, and everybody's just jumping to conclusions that she clearly wasn't good enough for him. That's why he bought the bike. Like, how do you even get to that?
And her reactions are really lame. 5 days.
Who would have thought? But not me.
So
I need to see this commercial.
Are you more surprised that they lost $1.5 billion, or before they lost $1.5 billion, they were worth $9.39 billion?
Probably that they lost the 1 point.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no idea what Peloton was before this commercial.
I don't own a Peloton, but I know a lot of people who do own them. And they all feel like that lady does in the video.
Tony, I just sent you the link on Twitter. So
no, thank you.
Can
thank
look
you.
At
I'm going to look at it as soon as we get done.
All right. Next story on the back page. Mark Zuckerman, he was on Twitter. He's a reporter. And he tweeted out this today. Mike Rizzo is the general manager of the Washington Nationals. And he got married in Jamaica shortly after the Nationals won the World Series. And here is a simple quote from Mr. GM Rizzo. I've been drunk for a month. And I agree with him for being drunk for a month after a World Series and getting married.
World Series, get married. I assume a honeymoon came after that. 100%. You're supposed to be drunk that whole time.
Yeah.
Now, shout out to Mike Rizzo, by the way. A tremendous GM. He won one for the old school baseball.
Yeah, he did.
He did. He's a part of the old school baseball program. So yeah, he was one of the GMs I enjoyed. Even though it was just 1 year, I enjoyed him. He's honest cap.
Take right. That for data.
There we go, Fizdale. Last one, real quick. The guy who is about to buy the Mets or hopes to buy the Mets, Steve Cohen. He's a really rich man. Very rich man. He's worth $13.6 billion. He has a 9-bedroom, 16-bathroom mansion in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Why do you need 16 bathrooms, though?
I don't know, but it's nice. I mean, I would go somewhere every day for a...
Go to a different bathroom
every day? Why not? Well, he loves art, too. And I've never understood why people pay so much money for art. But in 2013, he paid $155 million for Picasso's Le Rive. I'm saying that wrong.
Probably.
And in 2015, he purchased a sculpture. It's called Man Pointing. And he purchased that sculpture for $141.3 million, the most anyone has ever paid for a sculpture. So,
listen, art.
When you got $13.6 billion, I guess $144 million or $141 is nothing.
I'd rather buy art than cars.
That's true. Art never depreciates.
Art doesn't depreciate, so.
Good point.
If you got money and you can afford it,
yeah,
it's not a bad investment.
All right, that's it for the back page.
What was the other piece of art you were trying to pronounce, Scraby?
Oh, I just deleted it. It was, hold on. It was, oh, the bronze sculptures. Leum en Deut.
There it is, right there.
And Le Rive.
All right, that does it for our back page. One more segment. By the way, you're in the, we're in the happy hour. We haven't even mentioned it one time. One more segment to go. When we return, we were blessed to have Mark Sweeney on earlier to talk a little bit about the trades and the moves that AJ Preller has been able to make. When we return, you guys will get to hear that. This is Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. All right, it's official. I can't figure out why everybody's upset. I actually went, Thomas sent me the video of the Peloton. And people are acting like we got a whole backstory to make all these assumptions.
Well, clearly, he's always telling his wife that she's too large.
Oh, clearly. Where did you get that at?
When he gifted her the Peloton.
I'll tell you what, and I have to give at Bryce_Parker26 some love on this because he brings up a good point. Surely buying your spouse a $2,000 bike as a surprise is far more believable than buying a $40,000 truck without talking about it.
That's so
We've seen that commercial many, many times.
Yes, we have.
Just seems, once again, the husband's getting the short end of the stick.
That's
all
great.
Right. Joining us is my partner out in San Jose, Chris Ello. Chris, how you doing today, man?
All I know is every gift I've ever bought my wife is a waste of money. she never likes it.
Yeah,
I mean, I just have to have her get her own gift.
Chris,
all those commercials are off.
I have figured that out. That it's much better just to say, "Hey, honey, what do you want for Christmas?" No surprises in my family because those have all of them have backfired. Every single one of them.
I remember I threw my wife a surprise party one time. She pulled me aside and angrily said, "Do not ever throw me a surprise party again."
I have a very similar story.
So guess what? I never have. Yeah. I've never done it again. I'm not stupid.
Very similar story, Chris. I tried to start through. I started putting together a list for a surprise birthday party that she caught wind of and put the kibosh
she got
on
word.
It. Yes.
That was the end of it.
That was the end. For the most part, Chris, I don't know if you've been listening to our show the entire time you've been on the plane.
I wish I could. I've been on the airplane, but... what did people think of the trade?
They,
in
large part, have been very receptive of the trade. I think people recognize what I think AJ Preller and his staff are trying to put together here in terms of the roster, trading out power in this case for guys who are going to be able to get on base more.
Yeah, I love it. I love this. I mean, do you think Pham could even bat some leadoff and move Tatis down in the order a little if they want?
We were talking about that with Mark Sweeney. He kind of mentioned, depending on, you know, what you might be able to get at a guy like Grichem, who might be able to bat a little leadoff, you could slide Tatis down into the three spot, and that gives your lineup a little bit of length, right? Because now you have Machado or Hosmer hitting fourth and fifth. Followed by whether it's Franchi Cordero, you have some options basically. And I love Fernando Tatis in that leadoff spot. He's is as terrific as it gets, but you certainly have to feel like you're losing some production with him in that spot there.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think he batted there out of A, necessity, B.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he was just doing so well, they didn't want to mess with him. But I think coming into another season, I think you've got a couple of guys who could potentially hit leadoff. And be able to get some more production out of Fernando. So,
yeah,
it's a win-win. I mean, this is a good trade. Pham is a guy that you can put in a lot of different spots, and that's what I like about him.
Chris, I tend to believe that there's more moves coming. Don't know if they want to bring in another pitcher. We know that they're going to – it seems as though, reportedly, that they're going to go after Kim, the pitcher from Korea. Other than that, it seems like they're focused on the position players. And we talked about it when the season ended. They had a lot more question marks than I think we all initially thought. And they seem to be addressing that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, we talked about Kim yesterday. I mean, do they really need another starting pitcher? It's never going to be a bad thing. But, I mean, I think they can throw a pretty good five out there right now. So I'd rather take care of the other issues. But, you know, more important than all of this, as far as I can tell, Tony, this is the happy hour. and this is the final show of the week. So I've been dying to ask you all day, how have you felt about the 37.5 points Scraby put on you last night in the fantasy playoff game?
We haven't talked about it.
You guys haven't mentioned it?
We haven't talked about it.
The trade took everything.
I tried to forget about it, honestly, because it was going so nice. I mean, he had like 9.5 points.
I have Dak Prescott
through three quarters. Chicago's running away with the game. And then garbage time started.
You got beat by garbage time, man.
I can't even tell you. I texted Thomas. I go, this is absolute worst case scenario for me. And then I texted Thomas like 30 minutes later. I said, this is absolute best case scenario for me.
Now,
because they started scoring a little bit.
Yeah, now, though, I need his team to do what they normally do.
What is that?
Which is play well below standard.
Oh,
everybody else. I need
come
that to
on.
Happen.
Well, it figures that if Scraby's going to advance, he's going to do it on something that we call garbage time. That just seems very apropos to me.
It seems Scraby-ish, right?
It's very Scraby-ish to take advantage of garbage time. You shouldn't even count those points, Scraby. In fact, I think the fantasy people ought to take them away and just give you your total through three quarters, because that was Dak Prescott had a horrendous game last night, except for fantasy people, he ended up doing all right.
I mean, to me, the kicker was the fact that the running game was working so well, and yet they just completely went away from it. Even when they had the lead, they went away from it.
Yeah, Dallas is not smart.
Clearly.
They're not. I mean, even Troy Aikman's been, like, just ripping Jason Garrett recently. And, you know, just, the Cowboys, I mean, this crazy thing. I mean, they're 6-7 and still seated ahead of the 49ers, though, Scraby. So that's the important thing.
Chris, I cannot believe that he said that.
Can't believe who said that.
He's talking about the 49ers seat again. We're going into the weekend, and you have to throw me under the bus?
What, their five
I'm
seed?
I'm throwing you under
have?
The bus. I'm just stating facts for our listeners.
Hashtag
facts. Why am I going into the weekend like that? When the 49ers beat the Saints on Sunday, then they'll be the number one seed again.
Will they?
Yeah.
Will they?
No, if the Seahawks win their
Seahawks
game, the
win.
Seahawks will stay in first place.
Well, then they'll be number two.
No, they'll be number five still.
Still be number five with an 11-2 record.
I'm confused.
Well, that's blah, not blah, blah, that's blah. Not an upset.
Where'd my dinger go?
All right, Chris, we're gonna let you get out of here, man.
All right. Hey, good luck to both you guys in your fantasy playoff game. Have a great week.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Stand out there, everybody, and hopefully the Aztecs will be 10-0. Basketball come Monday afternoon when we rejoin everybody.
Yes, sir. We'll see you Monday at the Hyatt.
You got it.
That was Chris Ello, my partner.
From San Jose.
97.3 The Fan's coverage of the 2019 MLB winter meetings presented by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of the end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealer, I don't know why I keep saying Honda, Honda dealer, are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Days sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. All right.
Wow. Radio voice.
Early today, as I said, we got a chance to talk to Mark Sweeney, Padres Fox Sports analyst, to get his take on the type of offseason that A.J. Preller and this organization is having. Let's get to our esteemed guest, fantastic analyst Mark Sweeney joins us, Fox Sports San Diego, Padres. Mark, how are you doing?
Tony G, and I got Scraves on the line. I love that, too.
Yeah, yeah, Scraves is sitting in for Chris, who's, you know, taking care of some Aztecs women basketball today. How's your offseason going, man? We haven't talked in a little bit.
It's going great. I mean, we love our time, as we know. You work a lot harder than I do, because when that last out's made, we wipe our hands and we become family members. And
that's
I'm
right.
I'm making dinners. I'm making Thanksgiving dinners. Yeah,
it's
I'm
like,
all,
see,
I'm all on board.
And we all, just like the saying goes, we all get to pick our friends after the last out is made of the season.
That is so true.
All right. A lot of activity, obviously, yesterday. The Padres, reportedly execute a trade. Bringing Tommy Pham to San Diego. Hunter Renfro goes to the Rays. Also, Jake Cronenworth comes to San Diego, and Xavier Edwards goes to the Rays. Just initial thoughts, if this trade that's being reported goes down, how do you think this fits the Padres?
You know what, Tony, the beauty of what we've done and being in the game for so long, you develop some friendships and people that have moved around in the game and been around certain guys. That's what you do. You call them, you ask them their opinion, and you warrant their opinions because you respect those. One of the guys I reached out to, who you know, is John Mabry, a former hitting coach in the Cardinals, obviously played 13, 14 years in the big league. So a good friend of mine, and he's going to shoot from the hip. And I said, what do you got on Tommy Pham? He goes, Swain, they love him. He'll outwork everyone. I know you've been talking on the radio about edge. He has that edge because of some of the tough upbringing he's had with family stuff off the field. It gives him that edge and that drive. There were a lot of that answers from John Mabry, and I love that.
Yeah.
He said he'll outwork you. If the team gets in a fight, and I mean this in a good way, he's backing you. He's ready for that fight. And he used that analogy of what I really believe the Padres need. And I think A.J. Preller and his staff understood that they were getting a very good player, but they were also getting a guy that's going to give that edge and give that dynamic that I think this team definitely needs.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It seems as though, based on Blake Snell's reaction, all of the analysts we've talked to out of Tampa, they are sick today losing a guy like Tommy Pham. I mean, this is a guy who was leading pretty much their offensive leader, and aside from the attitude that he brings to that ball club, they're losing a guy that could get him a homer. He could get on base. He handles the strike zone very well. Sounds like all things the Padres needed to have those boxes checked as well.
Tony, I think if you look at the 3 years, and yes, you're going to see average, you're going to see OBP, all the things that you want to try to analyze. And also, this team, I think, is going to be more aggressive, and they need to get more athletic. They need to get more ways to score runs. And a lot of the guys have talked, even Chris mentioned it at the beginning of the show, is that you need to get some traffic on the bases for Machado, for Hosmer, for anyone else that they possibly might acquire that's in the middle of the order, because you're going to be able to do that stealing bases and being threats. Because even though that's not huge in the game, you look at Tommy Pham, he's got 65 stolen bases the last 3 years.
That's right.
To me, that's more athletic. That's more of a threat. It gives more fastballs in the strike zone because guys are going to start paying attention to those runners. I still believe that aspect, if you have it, will be a benefit for the offense for the Padres next year. And Tommy Pham gives you that edge.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We saw how different ways to score can be effective. We watched the Nationals pull that off. They found different ways to score. They end up winning a World Series. The Padres have been active pretty much all offseason. You know, they've been able to pick up some guys off of waivers. They've made another deal. They made the move last week to bring Trent Grisham in along with Zach Davies. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that move. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, the one thing that sticks out in my mind is that I'm really happy Luis Urias got traded. And I'll tell you why. And this is actually a thought, and it probably relates to you too. How many times have we said his name wrong? And I know I'm saying it wrong, and I say it different ways. I don't think I say it right ever. And as an analyst, you want to say it right. I mean, you think about the family that's listening, you know, the friends that are listening, maybe the wife or whatever it is. you want to get the names right. I felt like, and along with everybody else, got his name wrong, and it was said differently. I said it 10 different ways in a game. So it's one of those things. And I obviously, I'm not happy we traded him away. But if you look at that trade, I think it was a good baseball trade. It was want for want. The Trent Grisham gives you left-handed versatility. I think AJ Preller, if you look at some of the moves with Davies and Gibson Profar, you're starting to see what the Dodgers are starting to implement every single night. There's more versatility. There's more moves to be able to be made during a game. And I think the roster definitely needed that. You're starting to look at Pomeranz. Can he give you a spot start? Yes, he can. Can Davies pitch out of the bullpen? Yes, he can, because he's done it before. It's not a fear. There's a little bit of versatility, even though they most likely have those defined roles already. I like the type of moves because of that aspect.
You know, just going back to Tommy Famicrick, you mentioned the stolen bases. This is not a guy who's in his late 20s. I mean, he's in his early 30s, and he's continued that 25-bag pace through ages 29, 30, 31. So this is a guy that clearly at this point hasn't lost anything from the speed standpoint. But let me ask you a little bit as you start to shape this lineup up, Mark. You can kind of start to see where the Padres can be effective. You can slide a guy like Tommy Pham in that two-hole. It slots everybody else down. And as you mentioned, the traffic in front of the big guys was the biggest issue for the Padres last year.
Yeah. I think, Tony, if you look at it, and sometimes you look to forecast because you've been around some clubs and you've watched some guys that are forces in the middle of the lineup. Tatis looked great at the top of the order. Do I think that he's a leadoff guy? Yeah, in this day and age, yes, he does. Yeah, but for me, if I'm sitting there implementing it and I'm forecasting it, I'd like to see him hitting third.
Yep, I'm with you.
So if you can get a guy like a Grisham that really likes hitting leadoff to draw some walks and maybe give you a sustainable period of time during a season that you're going to get some good at-bats, especially against right-handed pitching, and you can move Tatis down, maybe try him in there and see if you can lengthen the order that way.
Yeah.
There's different aspects of that I really, really enjoy. Not that I'm saying that Tatis can't lead off and he's a weapon. I love that aspect too. But there's certain things that you don't want to call it old school, but there's a lot of variations in lineups, especially this day and age, that you'd like to see and like to see it sustained for a long period of time.
It's almost like you don't even have to say old school. I mean, I think, especially the way today's game is, you want as many people on as you possibly can for your best hitter.
Yeah.
If you can find, if Trent Grisham can be that guy that can hit leadoff and Tommy slides into that two-hole, as you said, you're giving that lineup length, and that becomes a much more taxing lineup to face for any starting pitcher out there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what, Tony, it's really cool to see how AJ Preller is being aggressive, but it almost seems like it's calculated in what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
I still think there's a left-handed bat, maybe a switch hitter. I've heard the name Haniger, Mitch Haniger from the Seattle Mariners. There's still another fit that you can possibly go out. I'm not saying they have to do it because there's other guys on the roster that could give opportunities to as well. And I don't like playing that game, but when you start hearing the names, especially now around the winter meetings time and the aggressiveness that Preller and his group are showing, man, would that be a nice game? Because then you start looking at balance and you start looking at what Tommy Pham gives is that you're starting to look at 135, 140 starts per year, and you're averaging that. That's an everyday guy that you can rely on. If they get one more of those guys, and then you have a platoon here and there, and you have versatility, man, that offense starts to get a little bit dangerous.
No doubt about it. All right, Mark, we certainly appreciate your time. I'm going to let you get back to your hibernation in this off season and getting back.
Luis
Urias. Nice job. Nice job.
There you go. We said 20 times. 20 different ways.
Mark, thank you. Thank you for your time, brother.
Keep doing the great work.
All right, we'll do. Thank you. Mark Sweeney, Fox Sports San Diego. There he was, Swing Dog, as we like to call him around the workplace.
I do love Swing Dog.
Swing Dog. Just some scores updates for you before we head into our weekend. This is strictly for my partner, Chris Ella. Bulls up 92-89.
Wait, so he's not even here and they're winning?
Yeah. It's against the Warriors, though. I mean, they're supposed to win that. The other team in Los Angeles, the Clippers, getting beat down by Giannis. He's giving them the Greek Freak is giving them the business. Of course, the Lakers will take on Portland at 7:30 tonight. Can't wait to watch that.
Do you think Carmelo is going to just torch the Lakers?
No, I don't. Okay. I think our defense will be stifling.
Okay.
Big weekend in sports. Oregon up right now at halftime, 20
to nothing.
To nothing.
To nothing.
Rock.
I mean,
20 rock.
20 rock, that's as right. My man Chris Ella would say. It's a shame, man. The Pac-12 got a chance to get into a playoff, and a team that's supposed to represent the Pac-12 is being shut out in the first half of their conference championship game.
That's not good.
Not a good look. Thomas Andrews, fantastic work. Matt Scraby, producer / co-host today.
Oh, got
fantastic
the title.
Job. Fantastic
you
job.
Too. You too.
Enjoy the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. College football, NFL. I'm sure many of you, if you're playing fantasy, big weeks, playoffs. I know it is for me.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Yeah, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to take you down.
We're going to end it there. Quinn and Chris, have a lovely weekend. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.